Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day.
Good morning, Sunday morning. Every day I'm moving further from it's 10 a.m. This is 94.7 WPBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. That means you must be listening to Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local arts, brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. Here with your hosts, Leslie M. Scott Jones and Clinton Johnston. And now, here's Leslie and Clinton.
What is up, Leslie? Oh, nothing much. You know, it's really early on a Sunday morning.
Is it really that early?
It is really early for me. For me, anyway. I don't know about anybody else.
But you're a bright, shiny ray of sunshine. It's sunshine, bright, shiny ray of sunshine.
Are you
obviously,
okay?
I obviously did not do my enunciation exercises.
No, you did not, sir. Oh, my. Oh. But that's
so
okay.
So apparently you're a bright, shiny ray of sunshine.
And from you, sir, I will take that.
Good. Good. It's so much better to be a ray of sunshine.
Yes.
It's a higher level of ray.
You know, it's but it's all going to be okay because, number one, I'm here with you.
Uh-huh.
And number two, I made coffee this morning.
Where is the DVS-1?
He working.
He's working again.
Oh, he's working again,
we have,
man.
We've lost our favorite co-host.
I know.
David Von Strom.
I so miss him.
3 weeks in a row to the day job.
I know.
What is up with the day job?
Well, you know.
We thank the day job for keeping him in bills.
Oh, well, yes.
But,
yes.
And, you know, and out of the pauper house. But.
But.
Give us the David sometime.
I know.
You don't get to take him all the time.
I'm very sad.
Open letter to the day job.
Give us back our devious, please.
Open letter to the day job.
We miss him.
We appreciate you allowing artists to have rent and cover,
you know,
their bills.
And food.
But
you know,
the whole point of the day job
things.
Is to allow artists to actually also be artists.
Right?
Know your place.
Stay in your lane.
Know your place. And pay us more. Signed, your local artist.
Yes. Pay us more. That's definitely, definitely on the list.
Pay us more and give us more time off to do things that don't make you any money. I don't think day job is really going to appreciate that open letter.
Well,
I don't think they're going to listen to that at all.
Well, they don't appreciate us anyway, so really, no difference.
Word.
No difference. Seriously. You know, so a couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
my boss came because, you know, everyone in my office works remotely.
Right.
Except me and two other people. And so our boss periodically comes to the office for a day visit.
Ooh.
So she comes for a day visit, and during this visit, she says, she goes, oh, yeah, I just need a couple of minutes to meet with you. I said, okay, no problem. And so she sits down, and she's like, let me just send you this job description. Okay. And I open it, and we're going through it, and, you know, on and on, and I'm thinking, this job description kind of has stuff that I do in it. And she's just going through it, you know, no big deal, blah, blah, blah. And finally, halfway through, she says, so is this going to be okay for you? And I'm like, oh, we are talking about me. Okay, good. You're not like asking me about the job description for my replacement. Oh, good. Okay, thanks. That's great. So basically, I got...
You got a couple of years added on to your life.
Right.
Right in the middle of the day. That's good. That's good.
So basically, she adds like 20% more stuff to my job. I get a lovely new title and no more money. Yeah, that's what the day job calls winning.
Well, you know what we call winning? Our first guests.
That's right.
Coming here to Homegrown from Second Street Gallery. Woo! One of our favorite galleries.
We love Second Street.
We love Second Street. Come here, Christy Wood and Kristen Chacha. Did I get it right?
Chacha, yeah.
Yes! Chacha. He loves to pronounce names correctly.
Achievement unlocked. Welcome, Christy. Welcome, Kristen. How are you?
Good, good. I was thinking, speaking of rays of sunshine, Christy and I, as you can
you
see.
Are. You definitely are.
There you go. Yeah.
And, you know, we're on Facebook Live, but no one can see your shoes.
Oh.
Which I absolutely love. They've got little bats on them.
They have bats on them.
Oh,
my God. I mean, they are so cute.
We're gonna Facebook Live the shoes.
They've got little bats on them. Isn't that adorable?
Those best.
Right? Those rock.
Best.
Now, if they only were platforms, you know, like 6.5 inch, that would then I could.
Nothing totally pleases you, does it? You're
like... No.
Okay.
You've known me for how long? You're just... Whatever. So, what
Kristen,
are you?
Kristen, you are the new. Can I
go ahead.
Jump in?
Yes.
Kristen, you are the. Well, at least you're. You're fairly new. You're new to us. We've been wanting to get you on the show for a while, but you're the new executive director for Second Street Gallery, right?
I am. I'm. I joined Second Street in late September 2016. Mm-hmm. So I've been here a little over 6 months, but I'm also very new to Charlottesville. I came here from, I moved from Brooklyn.
Are you over the culture shock?
Oh my God. It's only 6 months.
It's only 6 months.
It's going to take her at least 2 years.
At least.
Yeah.
So I moved from Brooklyn. I was with a gallery in New York City for about 13 and a half years. And both my sister, who lives here in Charlottesville, hi Katie, and Second Street lured me down, and here I am, and happy to be here and join the gallery, and nice to finally meet you.
Cool. Definite.
So Charlottesville lured you, huh? Was it just because your sister lived here? Is that what it was?
That, and I mean, I was looking to kind of leave. I was with the other gallery for 13 and a half years. I was ready for a change. Second Street had an opening for a director,
right.
So... I met with them, and it was kind of it just fit. It was a good match, and you know, I came down here. You know, I wasn't going to move here without a job. So, and I've also recently been promoted to, in addition to my role as executive director of Second Street, I'm now chief curator. So I'm going to be taking over.
So much control.
Exactly. So starting next season, my first show will debut on October 6th. So I'll be curating all the shows for the seasons to come. So I'm super excited about that. But
wow. So for people who don't understand the details between those two roles, mm-hmm. talk just a little bit more about it. Explain what that means to be head curator and what it means to curate a show. And also to explain my little joke about so much control. I mean, that really allows you to put a significant stamp of yourself on the gallery, right?
Yeah. So now I'm selecting the artists. I was just in New York City a couple of weeks ago visiting some artist studios. So I'll be bringing two great New York artists down to Second Street, Paul Brainerd and Peter Benedetti. They're the artists for my first show. You hear it here first.
Homegrown exclusive.
Yes. We like those reveals. Those are awesome.
So, so I'm working on, you know, visiting artist studios, you know, exploring new possibilities. I'll be selecting the artists to bring, and I'm organizing all the exhibitions. So that's my role as curator. It's great, you know, sort of the director and curator overlap, because as director, I'm doing all the fundraising. Second Street Gallery is a nonprofit, so we get most of our funding from donations, from exhibition sponsorships. So it's great when you're working on both sides. You know, I'm very passionate about these shows that are coming, and so it makes the fundraising easier when I'm more familiar.
When you know exactly what
when
you're
I
talking
know
about.
Exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm very excited for the next season. So stay tuned.
Awesome. Kristy, don't want to ignore you.
No, that's okay.
Get in there.
I'm good.
Get in there.
So specifically, you're here today to talk about this upcoming workshop, right?
Yes. So I'm going to be hosting a workshop at Second Street next Saturday, the 13th. Mm-hmm. It is an encaustic painting workshop. I had recently done the pop-up artist salon in March at Second Street, and a lot of interest came my way and people wanting to just demo with this and see what it was like and practice it. And so
what was the pop-up art salon? Talk about that.
That was back in,
because we talked about that briefly, I think, when Warren was here.
The pop-up salon was one of the ideas that was put together with myself and a group called the Creator Circle. They're a local group of artists, and they were looking for a space. These are artists who are not necessarily represented by galleries. They don't necessarily have artist studios. So they are looking for a place to really work and, you know, show off their work. So I'm looking for ways to activate the space at Second Street. I want to make the space more welcoming, you know, bring more people in. I love watching artists work. So I thought, you know, we thought it would be a great idea to get together a group of artists, have them set up shop in the gallery. So they're all working on their individual, you know, works in caustic. There are people doing digital work on their computer, also painting, drawing right in the gallery space. They also had some of their finished works on display, and then they had the option of selling work to the public. So these are artists who, so pop up, this was not a, you know, a curated show. This is just a group of people who came in who wanted to show their work at Second Street. And so on a Saturday, a bunch of them came in. It went over really well. And Christy was one of the artists. And like she said, it was there was a lot of interest in her work in particular. She got a lot. There was constantly a group of people around her station. So, and we're actually doing another pop-up salon on May 20th. Awesome. Another group of artists, some of the same artists, some different artists. So on Saturday, May 20th at Second Street from 12 until 5 p.m., you can come and see another great group of artists working.
Awesome. So Christy, encaustic painting. What?
Yeah, what is that?
Okay, so it's not encaustic in the sense of toxic or poisonous. So.
Well, that's good.
Yes, it's
that might be bad to have in a public gallery.
That could be an insurance issue.
Exactly. So encaustic painting, in a nutshell, is painting with molten beeswax. So it is you're working with beeswax that's being kept in a liquid state on a heated palette, and you literally paint with it, and it hardens.
Molten
beeswax.
You're painting with molten beeswax?
Yes. Yes.
So you're painting with beeswax while it's hot?
Yes. Well, it's about 200 degrees.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So it's not just beeswax. Like not it's not like a candle wax. It's actually mixed with Damar resin, which helps the wax to harden and cure and gives it a really nice shine when you're done. You work with it and you build up layers and you fuse the layers together with either a blowtorch, which is really fun, or a heat gun. A heat gun, which we'll be using heat guns at Second Street
using blowtorches near the art at Second Street.
No fires at Second Street. But it is, so it's not as dangerous as it sounds, but it's really fun. It encourages you to just let go because the wax will do its own thing.
It's going to do what it's going to do.
It's going to do its own thing. So it's really good for people who kind of need to let go a little bit.
Do you have different colored waxes, like you have different paint colors to play?
Yes. So there's encaustic medium, which is transparent, which is I mostly work with the medium. But then there are also pigmented waxes as well that you can mix, and you can mix them right on the heated palette. Like you're just melting wax right onto the palette.
That is so
putting
cool.
Putting them on your board with, you know, brush.
Okay, now I understand why there was a group of people surrounding you. Like, no, seriously, that's hot. Like, what the hell is she going to do with that?
Yeah.
Teacher had said, okay, here's the time where we pull out the blowtorch, kid.
Right.
There would have been so many more artists. Yes.
Right. I'm excited to be able to offer this workshop because it's not something that you can go out to an art supply store and say, I'm going to see what this encaustic stuff is like,
right?
Because you need a lot of supplies. It's a lot of setup. And so I was fortunate enough back in the fall, a good friend of mine, I will plug her, Giselle Goutreau. She has a studio at McGuffey, and she's an encaustic painter and an oil painter. She let me come to her studio and just play with her encaustic stuff for about 4 hours one day. And I was immediately love with it. But I mean, otherwise I would have had to go find a workshop somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
So this is just going to be an introduction.
And was her work your introduction to encaustic painting?
Yes. I had seen it online, and she had just moved back from California last summer. And so I had seen her work online. I'd seen other work online. And so it's just such a versatile medium. You can incorporate photography and collage into it. It can be a form of sculpture. It's just really, it's so much fun. You can do so much with it, and I'm still experimenting, and I'm still learning.
Awesome.
That sounds really cool.
And for artists, isn't that a great place to be in where you're setting off on something new and you're setting up on a next level of development?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been great for me because I just got myself back into doing art after about a 20-year hiatus.
I know how that feels.
Yeah. So about a year and a half ago, I took a painting class, and the painting class I took, it forced me to get back into doing art. I need someone telling me to do something, and I got back into it, and I haven't stopped since. And so encaustic was just a totally new medium for me, and I'm able to incorporate my photography into the encaustic work. I can incorporate collage and any other type of medium I want.
So is your background as a painter or as a photographer or
as
both?
Kind of everything. I did a little bit of everything. It's from the time I was very young. I was always doing art, and then I stopped in my early 20s for some reason and just let it go. But I've done everything from painting to pastels, collage work, sewing, anything. Anything I can get my hands on.
So if you don't want to answer this, you certainly don't have to. But I'm curious because I'm curious because in my early 20s, I'm mostly a theater artist, and in my early 20s, I also stopped and didn't do theater for a good 4 or 5 years. So what is it like coming back after a hiatus?
It's amazing because I'm, 20 years later, well, obviously I've already dated myself. I'm 41 now. I'm a lot different than I was when I was 20. So my art is coming from a different place. And it's so nice to get back into that flow, get back into that zone. I have a 6-year-old boy at home, and he's amazing. And I love being a mom, but it's really nice to have that thing that's just mine again.
Yeah.
And just be able to zone out and create. It's a really good outlet for me. Really good outlet.
Really? Your break was only 5 years? Mine was 15.
I had the Jones really bad. I tried to stay away. But every time I got out,
they pulled you back in. Yes, I know.
more proof. The Godfather is useful every day. No, well,
either that or old Al Pacino.
Well, like I said, my break was 15 years, and actually, you're the one who got me back in.
Is that true?
I blame you. Yeah,
you
were it, baby.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it took. Seeing a notice for Shakespeare and African American actors, and I was like, yes, yes, done.
The world can either curse me or thank me.
So how had, cause I know for me, stopping for 15 years and in that 15 years having kids and having what we call regular life, that really changed my outlook. So how has having a 6-year-old boy changed how you do your art?
I'm not exactly sure how that's changed my art. I think more it's just a level of maturity. And I think in having a child, I care less about what people think.
Yes.
And so I'm not as concerned about what other people think of my art. Of course, I want them to like it and buy it. But I'm doing it for myself. I'm not doing it for other people. I'm not doing it to try to fit into any kind of niche like I was, when I was younger. And, I need to set a good example for my son. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's why you need to have kids, Clinton. Right there. So you no longer care what anybody else thinks.
I have no kids, and I don't care what anyone thinks. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Kristen
I just love to poke at him.
You're coming back.
You have now made a friend. Just want you to know.
How can people get access to the Encaustic Workshop?
So if you go to our Facebook page, we have an event there with a link to the Eventbrite ticket page. So So you can also call the gallery. You can stop by. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can also sign up in person. There's three workshops throughout the day, three time slots.
And it's May 13th?
May 13th, Saturday. It's $75 for the general public. If you're a member of Second Street, you get a nice little discount. It's $65 for members.
Dun, dun, dun. Membership has its privileges.
And, I mean, as Christy can also say, I mean, you don't need to be an experienced artist. This is a beginner workshop, and so anyone can come and do it. I mean, I might even sign up for if there's yeah, a slot left. Go. If there's a slot left, I'm going to definitely do the workshop. I'm not an artist. I'm an art historian and art critic, curator now. Uh-huh. So no, it's, you know, open to every. Although we do have a stipulation. What is it? You have to be over. What do we say? It was 18. Just because of the materials.
Just because you're dealing with 200-degree molten
exactly,
wax,
right? Exactly. Yeah. So there are, you know, we want everyone to be safe. But other than that, it's open to everyone. So, and also, you know, the gallery will be open to the public. So you can come by and, you know, watch, come in and see the workshop and kind of check it out. And we'll be there. So
awesome.
Our collection of 17-year-old stoner listeners out there are all going, man.
Right? They are very disappointed right now.
Because we have so many. That's such a large part of our listening to be the 17-year-old stoner base.
You know, that wake and bake, you know.
Wake and bake and homegrown. Hey, it's like, right? What else is your Sunday going to be?
What else is your Sunday going to be?
I just want to mention, too, it's the day before Mother's Day. And come make your mom a
present. Make your mom something. Yes.
Sold.
Because seriously, I am racking my brain to figure out what I'm going to get my mom for Mother's Day.
Aren't you enough?
I am enough, but, you know, she also is used to shiny things. So, you know, and my daughter's graduating from college like the day before. So, you know, there's got to be something waiting for her the next morning. I mean, I'm going to do breakfast in bed, of course. But, you know, there's got to be a little something,
because you know, but mom doesn't like homemade gifts from their kids.
Right, exactly. I mean, I still have the, you know how the kids do the little handprints when they're in. I still have those from both of my kids.
My
you
mom,
can do
my,
that
my
in
mom,
the wax.
My mom appreciated
that would
the.
Be so cool.
My mom didn't like homemade gifts. My mom appreciated the get the hell out of my home gift.
That was okay. Well, We may need to have a further, longer discussion about that, but later.
Or may
later.
Not. Christy, Kristen, thank you so much for coming on Homegrown.
Thank you for having us.
Look forward to having you guys again.
Oh, my goodness. Three guest shows are tiring.
They are.
Let's
do a drop.
Yes, let's do that.
23 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Oh, hey, you know what? We should do one more spot.
We should.
Here we go.
For the past 27 years, Market Street Wine's been passionate about matching carefully selected wines and beers to your needs. Whether you're looking for the perfect food pairing or an afternoon delight, we'll take it to a new level. Frequent tastings at two locations means you're always close by. MarketStreetWine.com for locations, hours, and tasting schedules. Or you can call us at 434-979-9463.
Boom. No, you can just sit down. Sit down, man. Chill. 24 minutes past the hour now. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. You're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art. Here with our guests, our next guest, Susan McCulley. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming to Homegrown. Welcome.
I am so excited to hear about this program.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I used to. I can say that. I used to be a dancer.
Well, I would say that everybody's a dancer, right? So, so I'm doing a retreat called Dance, Sit, Create, which is about combining movement, meditation, and creativity.
So I love the suggested tension in the name, Dance, Sit.
Dance. Right, right, right.
Because as you can tell by looking at me, I'm really, really good at one of those.
Oh, my God.
don't do much of the other anymore.
No, you know what? I have seen you dance. Don't even go there.
I bet you, you can get going.
This man has moves that you would not believe.
No, I believe that completely.
Many years and many pounds ago.
What? I saw you dance like 2 weeks ago.
And it's been 2 weeks since I've been able to get up and walk again.
Oh, Lord.
So anyway, talk about Dance, Sit, Create.
So, yeah. So this is... This is a retreat that's evolved over many years of teaching movement and mindfulness, and being an artist myself, and noticing the kind of fertility of the space of both moving and being still,
yeah,
and what happens when I do that and as part of my practice. And so, you know, the people who come are people who think about, think of themselves as, artists and people who don't.
Yeah.
There are a lot of times when people, I tell people about the retreat and they say, well, I don't do any of those things. And I don't know anything about any of those things. And I'm like, perfect.
Yeah.
Or maybe they think of themselves like that they do one of them, but not all of them. And I guess my invitation is that this is for everybody. And it's a great way to tap into parts of yourself that you may not see.
Yeah. So in your practice,
mm-hmm.
has stillness impacted it differently than continuous movement?
Yes, sure. Yeah.
How so?
So right. For many years, I would have said, I cannot be still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like,
that's me.
Yeah. Right. You know, and for years, friends and doctors and therapists would say, you know, you really should think about meditation. And I'd be like, you know,
what do they know?
Yeah.
You don't know anything. God.
And when I started practicing it in very small, increments, I started to notice that I was then able to work in a very different way. But for me, it really worked better if I did a lot of movement, then got still, and then did work. And and so that's where this whole thing evolved from.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Saying that you had to take and work the inner child.
Exactly.
Run it around.
Get my yayas out.
Get all the nervous energy.
Exactly.
Okay.
And part of it too, right, is for me is battling as an artist, somebody who wants to create something. The voices that are telling me that this is a bad idea and that it's going to come out wrong and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't listen to those voices.
Well, that's
I never
genius.
Listen to those. I'm like, you know what? Shut up. Shut up. I'm doing it.
Right. Exactly. And
the sad thing is usually some of those voices are my voice.
Yeah. But that's why we work so well together, because like I've said before, he always says no, and I always say yes. And we always end up doing what I want anyway. So it's perfect.
And again, the yes usually takes the form of, shut up, I'm doing it.
Well, it's, you know, I think that we all struggle with parts of ourselves that are talking us out of things.
Right.
And actually, I really think that part of the reason more people don't see themselves as artists is that we're trained not to see ourselves as artists.
Yes.
We're actually educated, almost intentionally educated out of it. There's some, you know, really compelling research that looks
at... Yeah, talk more about that, because it's a fascinating thing and such a true thing too.
Right. I mean, our educational system really is designed to teach the creativity out of us. And there's research that when kids are 5 or 6, 95% of them, 97%, score very high on creativity scale. But by the time they get out of high school, it's down to, you know, in the single digit percentages.
Yeah.
Mm. And so if we think about that, Pablo Picasso said that every child is born an artist, and the trick is staying that way as an adult. And so part of what we do is to play with, how do we access that again? How do we, let go of what we've been trained to think and how we've been even trained to think about art.
Yeah.
As something that has to be sold or that it's something like it's a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Brian Eno says, stop thinking of art as works or objects and start thinking them as triggers for experience. Mm. And that Ooh. Is what I am all about.
It's that like, is a nice quote. I like that.
Well, he's rich as anything, so he can afford it. <It's> like,
but right? But I mean, when we think about it, that's really what art really allows us to do.
Yeah.
And so it's not about making something perfect or, you know, pretty. It's about...
Well, and I think a lot of us, especially artists, who, you know, people who do it all the time... have to stop thinking that it has to be perfect.
Right.
I mean, how can someone who is trying it actually engage with it and have fun with it and let go?
Yeah.
You know, when we ourselves, the people that do it all the time, think, no, it has to be perfect. It has to be good. Okay, well, what is good?
Yeah, what does that look like? It's so subjective, right?
It's so subjective. Like something that's absolutely amazing to one person could look like a steaming pile of you-know-what to somebody else.
Right.
And, you know, it is what it is. That's what we have to embrace. It is what it is.
Right.
The reaction we get from it has to be enough. It has to be enough.
Yeah, and that's the experience, right?
I think for the show that we should have as our replacement word a steaming pile of Sean Spicer.
Yes!
That's our replacement for that
one. Yeah, I'm good. You know, so, I mean, there has to be, I mean, I know with my kids, they got a lot of art at home. There was always music playing. There was always lots of, like, I would sit down with my son to play with his blocks, and I'd be like, okay, what are we making? And he's like, I don't know. I just want to play with my blocks. I'm like, no, we have to make something. So are we making a town? Are we building a hospital? Are we building a motorcycle? What are we doing to try and keep that going? So how do you do that? How do you get an adult into that mindset within
Right.
this?
Yeah. So there's so I love what you were saying about the difference between being what it is and being perfect.
Yeah.
And if I think for myself, if I think about the sensation of perfect, there's a tightness there, right? And that's hugely why movement and a variety of kinds of movement allow us to let go of that feeling of that tightness of like, oh, whether or not this is going to work.
Okay.
And then what we do is... allow ourselves to settle down, have some stillness and some mm-hmm. quiet. And actually that's another opportunity to do something imperfectly.
Yeah.
Because when we sit in meditation, we think and, we start obsessing about something or we get the wiggles and we want to move around. And part of the practice of meditation is like, oh, this is the way it is right now.
Yeah.
Right now, yeah. I feel really anxious or I'm fidgety or I want to get going and doing my art or whatever. Yeah. And so it gives us another opportunity in a very different way to play with being the way it is.
Right.
And then we do a variety of things. We play with writing. We play with... various kinds of visual art, drawing or painting. At one point during the day, we do something called group awesomeness, which is a big project that everybody does together. And then if you have any idea about perfection, you can let that go.
Right.
Because there are 20 people
right.
who are doing this thing together with you.
Yeah.
It's so interesting you said, because as soon as you said group project of a bunch of people doing things together, just sitting here listening to you, I started to get tense.
Yeah, right.
Just reflexively, I start
how would that work?
Exactly.
Right?
Like,
never know how it's going to work. We never do. We never know how it's going to come out. But there is something about having interplay between, like, I've done this, and then I'm going to go over here and I'm going
to add to that.
Add to what you did.
Yeah, yeah.
And every time it comes out awesome.
Okay, so I do in my... what, third, fourth
artist life. I'm a writer, and primarily of romance. And what I like to concentrate on is the inability for people nowadays to actually be still in a relationship and have those what we like to call difficult conversations. But that what you're describing seems something that may open people up to doing it more in their regular life and not thinking about it as a way to create art, but actually a way to live.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Because one of the things that I say is that it's about living life as an artist and making art out of whatever it is, whether it's a novel or a painting or a relationship or even a conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The very act of interacting can become a work of art if we think about it that way.
Yeah, because it seems like it's the perfect
way. The very act of interacting can become a work of art.
Yeah.
That's another phrase. That's
right.
Another thing that should go on a homegrown t-shirt someday.
It really should.
That's a t-shirt phrase. That's great.
Because that's what I see, you know, is missing, is the biggest component of what's missing in the way people interact with each other today, is that they have, there's always a wall. There's always this tenseness. There's always an expectation that someone wants, that the other person wants to do harm to you or is blaming you for something. Or so you get all tense immediately. But if you can find a way to just say, you know what, is what it is, and let go, then the possibilities that open up are endless.
Right, exactly. And you know, appreciating what they bring and what they do. And
appreciating without expectation.
Yes,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then seeing what can I make of that? What can I do with that?
Yeah.
So another thing we do during the course of the day is we have something called an art line that looks an awful lot like a clothesline, but it has art on it. And everybody brings something, or during the day we put things up. And at one point we invite everybody to go up and be inspired by something and
That's
create
really cool.
from something that they see.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell everyone, because this sounds so awesome.
It does.
So tell everybody
and
how
I feel
they
like
can get involved.
The depths that we've barely plumbed.
Right? We can have this discussion for like 3 hours.
Yes, believe me. I can definitely talk about this. But yes, it's called Dance to Create. It's a day-long retreat on Saturday, June 24th from 8:30 to 5. It's out in Earliesville at the Parish Hall at the Buck Mountain Church. And you can get all the information on my website, which is SusanMcCulley.com, and where you'll see workshops and retreats. And you can click on that and find all the information. And we have a wonderful, it's a great day. My friend and partner in crime, Rebecca George, creates food, delicious food for us all day. So all you have to do is show up and be yourself and experiment with
That's
ways
awesome.
Of, yeah. So
thank
it's
you so much, Susan, for coming and tell us about
yes,
this. I'm
thank
excited.
You
want to go,
you.
Clinton?
Yeah.
You want to go?
No, I'm afraid it's not going to be perfect.
Oh, my God.
Well, thank you, guys. It was a pleasure. It was really fun to talk about it.
Wow.
All right. 39 minutes past the hour.
Yes, it is.
Oh, this is Homegrown, your show about local art. Time, I think, certainly to talk about.
Yes.
Really quickly.
Yes.
What's coming up this week?
Okay, let's do that.
Let's do that. Let's do that. I'm going to hand this.
You're going to hand it to me?
I'm going to hand this over to you.
Okay.
You've...
Here I go.
Do it. And we should do this a shout out to our friend Tiff.
Yes.
Who's listening now. Tiff, here are the things that you could be doing this week.
Currently running through June 30th, Dallas photographer Janine McNavales exhibits her new collection Through Darkness to Light, photographs along the Underground Railroad at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. Through May 13th, The Realistic Joneses at Live Arts. Through May 21st, Blythe Spirit at Four County Players. Tiff and I just went to see that Friday night. Laughed our butts off. Today, oh my God, auditions for the Rocky Horror Show at Shannon Arts. My friend, our friend Jackie's directing. That's awesome.
Jackie.
May 9th, UVA's Fralin Art Museum presents informals, talks on museum collections, and events during lunchtime. May 12th through the 28th, title of show, the inaugural production of Phoenix Theater Works at Belmont Arts Collective. May 13th, guided tour of Indigenous Australian art at the Coogee-Roo Art Museum. Also May 13th, UVA Fralin Art Museum docent and former guest June Heinz guides you through 45 minutes of meditative exploration of Fralin art pieces at her Looking Inward Meditative Art Tour. The Bridge PAI's annual fundraiser, The Revel, goes down in the Livermore Performance Hall at the Music Resource Center. May 19th through June 4th, Death of a Salesman at Live Arts. Oh my God.
That salesman's dead.
For your musical options this week.
Tiff, here are your musical options for this week. Coming noon today, Aaron and the Wildfire, Michael Coleman Band, and the Front Porch Revival perform at the Fight Cancer Fest at the Ix Art Park. Or this afternoon, you can hit Jason Burke at 3:30 p.m. at Glasshouse Winery.
Jason!
Tonight, you could see Adar and Patrick Keese headline an evening of music, food, and wine at the Front Porch Roots Music School Bike and Build Benefit Concert.
Thanks.
And then tonight, Phil West at Wild Wolf Brewery. Or at May 9th, Bob Huntington and Travis Elliott Fellini's. May 10th, you can catch Bachata Fusion at the Anteroom. Alice and the Blenders at Dirty Nelly's. Will Overman at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. May 11th, it's Eli Cook at Dirty Nelly's. The Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar, or the Michael Ellswick Gathering, and then Tyler Dick at Fellini's. Also on May 11th, Murphy's Kids, Shag Wolf, Imaginary Sons, and Mike Turner at the Anteroom. Tiff, you're not done yet, because on May 12th, Charlottesville All-Star Grateful Dead cover band Alligator plays Fridays After 5.
What?
Also on May 12th, Rapunzel's Open Mic at Rapunzel's Coffee and Books. White Hold and Friends featuring Gina Sobel at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. And Gypsy Town at Wild Wolf Brewery. Rob Cheatham Trio at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. And on May 13th, Ann Lahr at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Terry Allard Band at the Batesville Market.
Oh my God.
If that's not Charlottesville, ain't nothing else is Charlottesville.
I know.
May 13th, also the Chickenhead Blues Band at Heritage on Main. And coming on May 14th, my man Peyton Tochterman,
yes,
at Glasshouse Winery. Yeah. And those are just some of the musical events,
some of
the artistic stuff that Tiff can do this week. If you're an artist and you have stuff coming up, you want us to talk about it, tell us about it. Let us know at our Facebook page. Let us know on our handy-dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com. 43 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. Their ghost is Kat Dillon from the Shelter for Help and Emergency, talking about intimate partner violence. Homegrown is brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. Breakfast all day, every day, with brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, and carefully constructed diner food on the weekday afternoons and evenings. And speaking of the evenings,
yes,
did you know Blue Moon is nice enough to provide a venue for local and visiting artists?
You know, I did know that.
At least for the rest of this month until they take their hiatus. This Wednesday,
yeah,
Jim Wave.
All right.
Friday, the Magic Honky Tonk Band from Waynesboro.
There's magic in honky tonk?
There's no. At this band, there is.
Okay. I believe them. Okay.
That's Blue Moon Diner at 512 West Main Street. Blue Moon Diner. It's a place.
Sure is.
For the past 27 years, Market Street Wine's been passionate about matching carefully selected wines and beers to your needs. Whether you're looking for the perfect food pairing or an afternoon delight, we'll take it to a new level. Frequent tastings at two locations means you're always close by. MarketStreetWine.com for locations, hours, and tasting schedules. Or you can call us at 434-979-9463.
44 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your show about local art. And we are here with our third and final guest on a whirlwind three-guest show today.
I know. We are like rocking and rolling, man.
Too much art to tear it apart.
I love it when you rhyme.
We have with us for the first time,
yes,
Michael McGee from Guerrilla Theater. How are you doing, Michael?
Good. Glad to be here.
Thank you for coming on Homegrown.
You got it, man.
Thank you for having me.
Indeed. So tell us, Guerrilla Theater, something coming up, maybe, possibly a play?
Yes, yes. Spring Awakening. We're doing it now. In fact, there is a show tonight, 6 p.m.
Woo!
It's going to run next week again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's Spring Awakening, which is a...
Now, let's... Because there's some people... Let's make sure we got the
distinction.
It's
not the musical.
It's not the musical, which is
the
Spring's
play.
Awakening.
Yeah.
Right.
This is the play on which the musical was based.
Absolutely. It is the play by Frank Wittigen, the German writer, and it was written in 1891. But what I like to say is it's a very contemporary play. Actually, shouldn't be as contemporary as it is.
Right. Talk about that, because I know exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was written during a time which is a very authoritative time, police state type of time, by Kaiser Wilhelm II, who some say caused World War I. Mm. He was a very bombastic, sprouting off, militaristic, egotistical guy.
So, and not that much different from men today.
Okay. Right. So, exactly. So, what happened was he wrote this play about repression in a time of living that way, and he chose sexual repression as his gate. But he's writing about all repression and about how repression works on freedom. Mm. And so, what you have is a play about young people seeking freedom in a time of repression. And it's done extremely, just differently. It's a lot of secretive stuff. It is a sexual repression, but it's all repression. So it really tells us about how human beings react to repression. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think of it like if you push a ball down in water, the ball's going to rise. And the farther you push it down, the more harder it's going to rise up. So that repression causes freedom. And so that's what the play's about. Yeah.
So basically a commentary on our current political state.
Not at all. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just,
too much.
Unless repression is making things better again.
Oh, God, get
making
away from me.
Making it great again.
Yeah, right.
See,
I just blew the slogan.
I just threw up a little bit in my mouth is what happened.
Was this a play that you brought to Guerrilla?
This is a play that they brought to me.
Uh-huh.
I was teaching some classes there and becoming associated with them. I think they're fantastic artists down there, very creative people, young people with really kind of bold ideas, that kind of theater. And I've done that kind of stuff in my past. So, I've been around for a long time, obviously. But... So
what?
Anna brought
you mean you're
this...
not 25?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Michael.
I'm climbing up there. But Anna brought this play to me, and she asked. They asked me would I direct it, and I looked at it, and I had seen a production a long time ago. You mentioned you'd seen a production a long time ago. I had too, but I didn't see when I saw it. I didn't feel it really worked that well. It was done in a college production. They kind of shied away from some things, I think. And you have to go full on with it.
It's an intense show.
Yeah, it is.
This is one of those plays.
And it's got laughs, too. It's funny, too, at times. It was written, he thought of it as a dark comedy. Anyway, so she came to me, and I looked at it, and then I thought, oh, my God, this play is perfect for right now. I mean, this is a great play to do right now. It says a lot about what's going on, and it tells us something about how to deal with what's going on.
Yeah. I think the way you prefaced it at the very beginning of the interview is dead on in saying that it's a play that is so relevant right now, and it's a play that continues to be relevant, and it's so sad that it continues to be relevant.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
It's a human condition. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We keep running up against it over and over and over again.
So how have your actors taken to the material? Did they get it immediately, or did you have to do some work to say, okay, let's examine not just the sexual? I mean,
right.
Like just its message on sexual oppression alone,
yes,
is really strong.
It is,
and unfortunately,
really good for our time as well. Unfortunately,
really still right. Kind of relevant. But in terms of getting them to hook into the larger
stuff. I mean, right. What kind of work did you
get? Yeah, well, I think we all kind of had a learning process there. First of all, I got to say is, you know, I come from Los Angeles originally.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with a lot of actors, you know, people who are famous sometimes or not. The actors here in this city are very good actors. I think you have a talented, very talented base of actors in this town.
I would agree with that.
You know, and really? It isn't that I didn't
say that again, because we spend a lot of time saying, oh, you know, we're not Chicago, oh, we're not New York,
yeah,
oh, we're
I
not
imagine
LA,
you do.
Oh, we're not all of these places.
Yeah, I imagine you do, because that's, you know, that's what you kind of think. But I've come to see that, like, the actors I'm working with, I'm very impressed with. A lot of younger people, too, very, very talented. I saw your show, Fences, fantastic, fantastic production.
Thank you.
Really top-notch acting, Leslie. And so, you know, anyway, that's that there. Yes, we did have to climb. We did. Mm-hmm. I did have to. You know, I came up in the 60s. You know, I was young in the 60s, but I came up in the
60s. Right, right.
I saw all this stuff going on. And so, yeah, we had to pull a little bit of that in. I said, it's not just about sexual repression. It is. But we have to get it larger. We have to make it larger than that so that it covers all repression and the human problem of repression and that, you know, the paradox that repression is freedom and freedom is repression. Though that paradox, you know, that's what we had to get to.
Cool.
Yeah.
So here's a wild question, a wild and wacky question I'm going to throw it at you anyway, because you were talking about coming up in the 60s, and I came up right after that,
right,
in the 70s, and I wonder if you think that repression, I mean, yes, there's repression going, but that there's a really different flavor to the repression these days, that repressors have gotten very good at making repression go down easy.
Yeah.
That there's a much more comfortable repression.
They've made it more palatable.
As opposed to 30, 40 years ago when there was a harder edge to it. And it was clear to say no, like these, you know, we're being kept from doing this. This is
Well, you know, over the last period, like from the 60s till now, even from before the 60s, but really around that time when people were getting assassinated, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, the Kennedys, all of that happened. The illegalization of the Black Panthers, everything that came down, that kind of pushing down. Then what happened was... the corporate element of America began to just incredibly lock down,
right?
Along with the military, and so now we have a kind of situation where, in every facet of our lives, we're faced with this kind of corporatization of America, the publicization, public schools, public things. Are taking a beating, a bad beating now, and they have been for quite a long time. This has been a shift for a long time. Some people call it a fascist shift. That's what people have said. But, you know, so we're faced with a much different animal here than in the 60s. The 60s was, you know, we could be out front. We could smack in the face. No, now it's in our face. It's in our homes. It's all around us.
The fight that
we have to find now is our own humanity. This is a time for art. This is a time for art right now because art forces us to deal with our own humanity. I mean, that's the difference. The difference is the total, you know, saturation of the problem.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that Alice Walker was completely correct when someone asked her how she was, you know, dealing with how the world and particularly the U.S. has changed. And she said, this is the time to be an artist because art makes people think.
Yeah.
And we need that now more than anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you get, so I just came from seeing a play. Actually, a play that some of our guests, former guests, were are in a piece of my heart.
Yes.
Over in Shannon Arts and in Stanton, play about women working as nurses, mostly nurses. There's one who isn't a nurse, but women who are mostly nurses in the Vietnam War. An intense piece. And one thing that surprised me watching it was how much the issue of Vietnam, was still very alive in me, and how much I was still, upset by it and emotionally connected to it. We fell into speaking afterwards about the how difficult it is to sometimes bring works that are so serious and so gripping,
yeah. Right.
When audiences frequently would prefer, and I'm with them, you know,
yeah,
I
yeah.
like a good comedy,
yeah,
I like all
comedy's fantastic.
You know, I
yeah.
like it. Trust me, I have my. I have my escapism card well punched.
Yeah,
I have got good, well, you know, two or three good free escapisms coming to me.
You know, yeah. Yeah. You're a black man in America. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, but yeah, yeah. Any thought with that concerning this piece?
Well, yeah. I mean, just as far as Vietnam and all that kind of thing. But you know, the fact that we're still dropping bombs all over the place now, and it's far more acceptable than it was at that time. But it was far more brutal in a certain way.
Well, we talked about this when Peace of Our Heart was here.
Right,
is that
right.
It's Vietnam was the first war that was televised.
Yeah.
So those were the first time that the American people saw those images, and now it's rote.
Yeah.
You know, and with a bomb, we don't ever see it happening.
Yeah. One other thing I got to say about this production is we've reached out to Seville Pride with this. We're connecting with them. They're having our stuff. We're having their stuff. We have notes on the back of our programs and stuff. We're trying to pull them in because there's also LGBTQ issues in this play.
Of course.
There's all kinds of things that go on. There's suicides. I got to say, though, there is also laughs. There is also comedy. It's satirical. It's a dark comedy. So, and he meant it
not
that
only
way.
Repression, but jokes.
But this, yeah, exactly. But this organ, exactly, funny oppression. But this production, yeah, is part with them. And, you know, so we want to support them and begin a conversation that way as well.
Awesome.
So, Michael, thank you so much for coming. On
great.
The show.
I
mean, it's such
great.
A fascinating conversation. Time just flew.
And you get tickets right at the webpage at GorillaTheaterProductions.com. You can get them online. You can come right to the door. We're a small black box theater right behind Seville Coffee, 1717B Allied Street, tonight, 6 p.m., and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next week at 8 p.m., and then 6 p.m., and again on Sunday. Yeah, come on
there
out.
There you go. Tonight,
fantastic.
Next weekend, don't miss a Gorilla Theater Spring Awakening.
Thank you,
Michael.
Nice to meet you guys.
Thanks.
Great.
Oh.
Wow.
What?
That's a lot of. We did a lot.
We did a lot. A whole lot.
We did a whole lot in that little hour, man.
It was just we were hour-tastic. Stay tuned. Coming up, if you didn't know, then you've probably been very confused. But let me tell you right now, this has been homegrown.
No one is confused by us, Clinton. I don't know what you're talking about.
Your show about local art. We'd like to thank our guests, Christy Wood and Kristen Chiachia from Second Street Gallery, Susan McCulley from Dance, and Michael McKee from Guerrilla Theater. Coming up next, Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. Their guest is Kat Dillon from the Shelter for Help and Emergency, talking about intimate partner violence. I'm sitting here with your lovely host, Leslie, I'm Scott Jones. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Clinton. We'll see you guys next week.
We will see you guys next week. David, shout out to you out there, baby.
Love you, Devious.
Matrix, it ain't happening. Is it my rapping or my accent? Is it my parentage or my passion? Faxes, I'm trying to get the message past this machine. Faxes, masticate on that. It should take it backwards.
See now, what's more for those who may ain't give back? The real hip-hop.
Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Sobriety. Moving further every day.
like Lee Harvey. They ain't body a jack. I can't see hardly. It's too foggy.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.